Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A happy Monday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got a great show for you guys today to kick off the week. Charlie Potter going to join us here in moments, going to get his thoughts on the Alabama Crimson Tide. We're also going to look at the Seattle Seahawks as we finish up our NFC previews in the NFL. We got a full Major League Baseball slate on this Monday. We're going to dive into every game on the schedule, give out some of our favorite plays, and then we'll wrap everything up with our best bets of the day. As always, any questions, any comments, any best bets that you guys have for us, you can comment in the YouTube chat, on the Twitch chat, at BetMGM Network. Any questions you have on the Tide, on the Seahawks, in Major League Baseball, let us know. We'll get to them throughout the show. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get rolling. On a Monday, glasses in session, we go to the Glasser guest line and check in with Charlie Potter, who joins a senior team writer for Bama Online for On3 Sports. Give him a follow on X at Charlie_Potter. And Charlie, as you know, it's year two of Kellen DeBoer. And obviously last year, so much of dealing with moving on from Nick Saban. Players have kind of talked about that adjustment they had to make in year one. Have you sensed a shift in the program a little bit? Has anything been different from your eyes watching camp and as we get ready for the season in year two under Kellen DeBoer?
I don't think it's been like a huge difference in terms of the eye test. Alabama's a very experienced team coming back. And I think really, though, this is Kellen DeBoer's team now. You've had several transfer portal windows. They've come and gone. Actually, in the spring, after spring practice, Alabama lost zero scholarship players to the transfer portal. So I think that kind of tells you the buy-in of this program, of these players. And look, I mean, last year, I don't want to say he had to step around on eggshells or anything like that. But in this day and age of college football, with players being able to move around easier than before, you got to keep a roster intact. All these guys now in this roster want to be in Tuscaloosa, want to play for Coach DeBoer and this coaching staff. So I think there's a little bit more buy-in. I think this is a pretty close-knit group. And it sounds like this offseason, maybe, and from a workout standpoint, a summer workout standpoint, they've been a little harder on them. It's been a little tough. Some of the guys that have been in the program says it's been one of the hardest of the their times in Tuscaloosa. And then they also talk about just, you know, how it's been one of the best. So I think they're saying all the right things for it to be a significant jump in year two under Kellen DeBoer. And you look at his last stops, he's kind of done that everywhere he's gone. Year one to year two, you've seen a significant step. So I think a lot of people are encouraged and looking forward to year two. And based off what the player said, I think they have reason to be.
Well, and as you know, Charlie, all eyes going to be on Ty Simpson certainly this year, as it appears that he's going to be the starting quarterback week one against Florida State. He certainly waited his turn. He's prepared for this moment to take over as the starting quarterback. What have been the early impressions of Ty so far? And is there a quarterback that reminds you that Bama's had in the last 10 years or so, maybe similar traits to what we might see out of Ty this season?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of reminiscent of Mac Jones. Not necessarily, I'm not saying it's a one-for-one comparison, but you look at the loyalty the Tide's had at this program, waiting his turn and now coming in and having an opportunity. And look, Alabama hasn't publicly named a starting quarterback, but after the spring, Ryan Grubb basically said, if we played a game tomorrow, Ty Simpson would be the starter. And then at SEC Media Days, Kalen DeBoer echoed those sentiments. So you're going into preseason camp, which starts on July 30th. Alabama's going to have basically a month to prepare for that game at Florida State. There's going to be opportunities for Austin Mack and Keelan Russell to challenge and push him for that number one role. But I think, at this point, it'd be kind of hard to do that. Ty Simpson's going to really have to mess things up. I think it's his job to lose. And I think that's kind of been the narrative all offseason long. He's been the most consistent. He's obviously the most experienced, having played, I think, six games each of the last two seasons as Jalen Milroe's backup. And he's waited his term, and now he has a prime opportunity in front of him, and it seems like he's taking every advantage of that. So you look at Mac Jones, he came in the same class with Tua Tagovailoa, a bold move right from the jump out of high school, waited his term. And then he had a young promising guy on the roster with him in 2020, and Bryce Young. And I think a lot of people are excited to see Bryce the same way they're excited to see Keelan Russell. But it looks like Ty Simpson is maybe going to hold him off and hold Austin Mack off and be the first guy on the field there in Tallahassee come August 30th.
I think that's a really good comp. And Charlie, Mac Jones that year was thrown to a Heisman Trophy winner, Devontae Smith. And maybe this year Ty Simpson's throwing one in Ryan Williams. Obviously, he's going to get all the accolades. But outside of Ryan, maybe people who aren't too familiar with this Bama roster, who's another guy in that skill position group that you think could be a top target to tie this year outside of Ryan Williams?
Well, like this wide receiving core, I know they lost, I think, six players to the transfer portal. It's like a 180 from last year. It's in a good spot. And look, I know Ryan deserves every accolade and every, recognition that he gets. He's a superstar. But Alabama has some really damn good receivers that aren't named Ryan Williams on this roster. And Jeremy Bernard's one. He's a guy that I think could be a draft pick in a year's time. He actually led the team in receptions last year. Those were your top two targets by a wide margin on the 2024 team. And then Isaiah Horton coming in from Miami. He's a guy that knows Ty Simpson. They're both from Tennessee. And I think they went through like the recruiting camp circuit together. And I think a big reason for Isaiah to transfer from Miami to Alabama is that familiarity with Ty Simpson. So he's got a lot of playmakers around him. The running back room is pretty stacked. You don't have a true maybe bell cow. You don't have a Derrick Henry type, but you have, three or four guys deep there. The tight end room got a boost, after the spring transfer portal window with a couple of guys coming in. But that receiving core is going to be a lot of fun to watch. And honestly, they're probably, seven, eight, nine deep. It's going to be really intriguing to see how many of these guys get on the field because they have a lot of worthy and promising options.
We're talking with Charlie Potter here on Send It In, senior team writer for Bama Online for On3 Sports. Charlie, let's talk about the other side of the ball. Defensively, I think Bama has a chance to be one of the best secondaries in college football this season. What's your outlook of the defense coming into the year? And maybe if there was like an area of weakness or like a question mark that might be a concern, what would that be on the defense?
Yeah, I think they got huge news in January at every level of the defense, just in terms of guys choosing to come back and not enter the draft. You had, I think, eight seniors on last year's team, three guys that turned pro, one of those being Jihad Campbell. But the rest is pretty much back and ready to roll. You've got returning starters at corner, at safety. You've got Deontay Lawson back in the middle of that defense. You got Tim Keenan, LT Overton, Quay Rousseau up front. So it's really tough to pick a strength. I think the secondary is probably the way I'd lean. That cornerback room is really special because you've got Damani Jackson and Xavier Brown both back. Those are guys that started all 13 games last year and seemed to make significant strides as the season progressed. And then you bring in a guy like Cam Calhoun from Utah. PFF's huge on Cam Calhoun. They might be his number one fan. And then Dijon Lee, a five-star corner who's like 6'4". I think he's over 200 pounds now. Just a freak in that room. So from a top-loaded and a depth standpoint, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a better position group than Alabama's cornerback room. And from a weakness standpoint, I think that obviously a key component and a key point of emphasis for this defense this year is to get more pressure on the quarterback. I think they finished with 24, 25 sacks last year. I think that was the least since like 2013. So they want to get after the quarterback, and guys like LT Overton, Quay Rousseau, some of those guys in the middle like Tim Keenan and James Smith can do that. But they need to do it on a more consistent basis. And really, when you look at it, I think it's that outside linebacker room. Quay Rousseau is a talented dude. They get Jamarion Latham back for his sixth year. They got some promising young players, but a lot of it's kind of unproven, and those guys need to produce more in terms of just applying pressure on opposing quarterbacks.
Charlie, their schedule, once again, is difficult this year. You keep the same opponents. You just flip home and away. So certainly the game that jumps out at you at Georgia in Athens is going to be a tough one to win. Outside of that game, what was the one on the schedule that you looked at and you're like, that's going to be a tough one for Bama to get the win?
It is the same schedule pretty much. They also had Florida State, so they've got two Power Five non-conference games. They start the season on the road at Tallahassee. I'm not saying Florida State is going to be that, because I'm interested to see what they look like coming off the 2-10 season. But, I mean, obviously all eyes go to the Georgia game. But there's a lot of revenge games on this schedule. But for me, I think it's that South Carolina game on October 25th, because you go to Columbia the week after hosting Tennessee and Tuscaloosa. We know that emotions are going to be high for that third Saturday in October game. So just, you know, what happens going on the road at Columbia, because a lot of people are high on South Carolina. I think rightfully so, with Lenore Sellers coming back. I'll be interested to see how they replace some key pieces that left, but they've got a lot of talented young players, and going on the road in South Carolina, Alabama hasn't done it since, I think, 2019. So a different experience for some of those guys, and the way it just falls on the schedule, you know, after a tough October, because you look at it after that Georgia game, you get Vanderbilt at Missouri, Tennessee, and then at South Carolina. To close that out with a road trip in Columbia is going to be pretty tough.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. Going to be a tough schedule. Right now, Bama about minus 175 to make the college football playoff this season. Obviously, they weren't able to do it last year. Charlie, do you think the Tide get back to the playoffs this season?
I think so, because we're sitting there in Norman thinking, okay, they might be playing for an SEC championship game with a win over Oklahoma, and then they just kind of fall flat on their face. So I think 10-2 is realistic. I think they can win 11 games. I think this team can play for not only a trip to the college football playoff, but I think they could play for an SEC championship this season. If they get the quarterback position, you know, straightened out, if they get some consistency from that position, if they get consistent play up front on the offensive line, and then they can, you know, they were good at causing turnovers last year. They need to keep that up, but also apply pressure on the quarterback. If all of those things come together with the guys they have coming back and some of the talented newcomers they have, I think Alabama can be right there in the hunt for the college football playoff. Not only that, I think they can get to Atlanta and play for an SEC title.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch. Year two with DeBoer, Ty Simpson taking over at quarterback. He's Charlie Potter, senior team writer for Bama Online for On3 Sports. Give him a follow on X at @Charlie_Potter. Charlie, always appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the season. Hope to catch up with you again soon.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, great stuff there from Charlie Potter. Let's continue to preview the Tide here on Send It In, as Shawnee Sharp will throw up the schedule there. You guys can see it, right? Life in the SEC. Bama's got a difficult schedule. Two Power Four opponents, as Charlie mentioned. The opener at Florida State, and then you get Wisconsin in week three as well. An interesting storyline in that Florida State game is you now have Gus Malzahn as the offensive coordinator for the Seminoles, right? Obviously, Gus was the OC, or was the head coach and the OC for Auburn for a number of years. He's no stranger to playing Alabama. And with Florida State coming off a two-win season, like Charlie was talking about, you get Bama at home in front of your fans. That'll be an interesting game. Their quarterback, Thomas Castellanos, has made a lot of interesting comments. We'll see if his team can back it up, but that's a good season opening game. Again, the game at Georgia is going to be really difficult. We know that since Kirby Smart has taken over as head coach of Georgia, if there is one team that has given him issues, it has been Bama. He's only been able to beat them one time. A lot of those games have come against Nick Saban, but last year DeBoer and Bama was able to beat them. But then, as Charlie was saying, man, it really picks up once you get to Tennessee, South Carolina, LSU, Oklahoma, and then, of course, the Iron Bowl this year, which is never, ever easy whenever it's played at the Plains and Auburn. So it'll be a tricky game. I think the win total at 9.5 is totally fair. I think Bama is probably a 9 or a 10-win season. I think you can make the argument for either. You look at last year's team, right? And they lost to Oklahoma as double-digit favorites. They lost to Vanderbilt as 24-point favorites. They win both of those games. They're an 11-win team from last season. So probably going to lose the game to Georgia, probably slip up somewhere else. Maybe it's a South Carolina game, LSU. Maybe it's on the road at Auburn, potentially. 9-10 wins feels about right. I'm staying away from the win total. I'm staying away from Bama to make the playoff as well. I wouldn't lay juice for Bama to make the playoff. I would go big with Bama this year. We've talked about this a lot when we're doing a lot of these college football NFL previews. There are certain teams I like to attack in the regular season, and there are certain teams I like to think big picture. Bama, for me, is a lot like the Los Angeles Rams this season, where I really don't want to do anything regular season with Bama, but just like the Rams, I think their team is good enough to not only win the conference, but they're good enough to win the whole thing. I bet them 15-1 to win the national championship. That's now down to 12-1. They were 5-1 to win the SEC. Now that's down to plus 475, so a lot of people are starting to invest on Alabama this year. And again, their roster, before we hopped on air, Charlie brought up a great point. This is the most seniors that Alabama has had since 2015. So it's a very experienced roster. And at positions where, you know, they have sophomores, it's guys that played the whole season last year. Ryan Williams is going to be a sophomore, played all last year. Those two corners that Charlie was talking about, Jackson and Brown, they played all last year. So Bama's team is going to be experienced, and even their underclassmen guys got some experience playing last year with DeBoer and playing on defense or on offense. So it's going to be a really good roster. They're going to have a difficult schedule. We talked about how a lot of these SEC teams might be at a disadvantage because they have to play tougher games on their schedule than some of these ACC or Big Ten or Big 12 teams. But if there is a team equipped out of the SEC to handle their schedule and then win four more games and win a national championship, it certainly could be Alabama. And then Ty Simpson, we've talked about him many times on this show. How about the fact his Heisman Trophy price was 66-1? It's all the way down to 20-1 now on BetMGM. It just never made sense at that price. With the offensive weapons that he has, with the receiving core, DeBoer is your head coach, Ryan Grubb now back as the OC, and Ty Simpson's waited his turn. I think the Mac Jones comp is a good one. He had Devontae Smith. Ty Simpson has Ryan Williams. So it'll be interesting. None of us know how good Ty is, obviously, but it's 66-1. I think it was worth a flyer at 20-1. Probably not as great a price, but definitely a Heisman candidate, especially if Bama puts up a lot of points and if they are in the national or if they're in the hunt to win the SEC. And then the last thing, Kellen DeBoer. We've talked about on this show, I like Nebraska because of Matt Rhule and what he does in year three. How about Kellen DeBoer and what he does in year two? His last two coaching stops with Sioux Falls in year two, he won a national championship, and then with Washington in year two, he went to the national championship. It doesn't take DeBoer long, replacing a legend in Nick Saban. They did some good things. They obviously had some moments they'd like to have back, but now it's his team. It's his team. It's his program. I think the guys recognize that. I think Bama's going to have a good year. So keep an eye on them. Think there's still some value at 12-1 on them to win the national championship. I think they're going to have one of the best rosters this year in college football. All right, let's talk about the Seattle Seahawks now here on Send It In. Jalen Milroe, of course, was the quarterback of Bama last year, now on the Seahawks this year, but it's going to be Sam Darnold's team as he gets that huge contract from the Seahawks in the offseason after a great year with the Minnesota Vikings. And Darnold is really the only reservation I have on Seattle for this upcoming year. I really like this team more than a lot of other people do. A lot of talk about the Niners and how they're now favored to win this division after coming in last year. Everybody is on the Rams, it feels like. Arizona might be the trendy team that people don't think is very popular, but like some people think could sneak up on others. I like this Seattle team. And it's a big reason why is because of Mike McDonald, their head coach. He was the defensive coordinator with Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. Then he was the defensive coordinator with John Harbaugh and the Ravens. And what his teams did in year two, when he was in that organization or in that program, I mean, it was leaps and bounds how they improved. The Seahawks have playmakers on defense on all three levels, especially in that secondary, which is what he wants. He's got two good corners in Witherspoon and Woolen. Then they get the kid out of South Carolina, Imanori, in the second round, which is going to kind of be like his Kyle Hamilton when he was with the Ravens. They picked up DeMarcus Lawrence in the offseason from Dallas as well to help rush the passer. I think that Seahawks defense isn't getting talked about enough going into this season. And a big reason of that is because of my trust that I have in Mike McDonald. I think he's a defensive genius. Offensive side of the ball, yes, they trade away Geno. Yes, they trade away DK Metcalf. But offensively, I think they're going to be okay, again, outside of the quarterback position, which is my concern. Kenneth Walker, Zach Charbonnet, great 1-2 punch at running back. JSN now is going to be wide receiver number one. Cooper Kupp and MVS both come over. Obviously, guys that are towards the tail end of their career, but I still think can help produce in this offense. And I think their offensive line's pretty decent. They have two good tackles. Their first-round pick was a guard that should help them be able to contribute right away early on in the season. Sam Darnold, obviously, is the key. Darnold was great, though, for much of last year when the pressure wasn't on. First 5, 10, 15 weeks of the season, Darnold was incredible. It was the last regular season game against the Lions with the division on the line, and then it was the playoff game against the Rams where he wasn't any good. It's why I don't want to invest in Seattle to win the NFC or bet them to win the Super Bowl, but could they win the division? Could they make the playoffs? I absolutely think both of those things could happen. Seattle's win total is 8.5. The over is plus 120. I like that bet. I also like them to make the playoffs as well at plus 170. So I think Seattle is worth a look for the upcoming season. I'm higher on this team than a lot of people are. And another thing that I would keep an eye on for Seattle, right? We think about the Seahawks, and they have one of the best home field advantages in all of the NFL. Seahawks only won 3 games last season at home. Just 3 games. That's it. They won 7 games on the road. If Seattle just does what they've been doing for the last 15, 20 years and take care of games at home with that great crowd that they have behind them, if they win 6-7 games at home this year, they're going to have 9 home games, 8 road games. I think Seattle, that win total, again, I would look over there. So not a lot of people are talking about the Seahawks. That's the team out of the NFC. Doesn't feel like a lot of people are picking that I like to make the playoffs this year. Big on the Seahawks. Just need Sam Darnold to play similar to how he did in Minnesota for much of the year. And this team should win 9, 10, maybe even 11 games. All right, let's talk some baseball now on Send It In. How about a full slate on this Monday? We absolutely love. Let's start things off with Orioles and Blue Jays out in Baltimore. O's minus 115 on the money line. The Blue Jays are minus 105. Zach Eflin against Chris Bassitt. Is this not a stinky line or what? Blue Jays have been one of the hottest teams in baseball, have the best record in baseball. They're underdogs today to the Orioles in Baltimore. I kind of would look at the Orioles team total over, though, at 4.5. The total is 9.5. Eflin and Bassitt both faced the opposing team's lineup once this season. Bassitt had a great start, 6 innings, gave up 1 run. Eflin, 6 innings, gave up 2 earned runs. So I think people might think this could be an under game, but the ball should be carrying out in Camden Yards tonight. I think both offenses score, but I trust the Orioles offense more. I'll take their team total over 4.5 tonight at minus 115. D-backs against the Tigers. Detroit has been really struggling. Troy Melton's going to be on the mound tonight, going up against former Tiger Eduardo Rodriguez for the D-backs. Tigers finally got a win yesterday against the Blue Jays to snap their losing streak. I think they back it up with another one today. I'll take the Tigers on the money line at minus 125. Rockies and Guardians tonight in Cleveland. You got Slade Ciccone going up against Bradley Blaylock. The Rockies have been playing better baseball, and the Guardians have been absolutely on fire. I'd probably lay it on the run line with the Guardians tonight at minus 1.5. Yankees and Rays tonight in the Bronx. You got Drew Rasmussen going up against Cam Schlittler for the Yankees. It's a big series. Rasmussen's history against the Yankees has been very good. Yanks are only batting 4-for-31 against them. Yankees have a rookie who's making his 4th start of the season. I'm taking the under in 8.5 Yankees and Rays tonight. Dodgers and Reds, good pitching matchup with Yamamoto going up against Chase Burns. I'm going to take Chase Burns over 5.5 Ks tonight. Remember when he made his debut against the Yankees and he struck out the first 6 batters, right? You're at home going up against an iconic franchise. And he just went after it. I think he does the same thing tonight against the Dodgers. I'd look over 5.5 Ks for Chase Burns. We got the Braves and the Royals tonight in Kansas City. Spencer Strider and the Braves are a -170 favorite against Rich Hill, who's pitching again for Kansas City as a 45-year-old. If this was the old Spencer Strider, I would totally understand it, but he still hasn't quite found himself yet since coming back from the injury. Because of that, I like the value tonight on Kansas City, so I'll look at them at +140. Red Sox and Twins tonight in Minnesota. You have Richard Fitz on the mound against Shane Woods Richardson. I'm going to pass on that game. No plays for me in Minnesota and Boston. Cubs and Brewers, this is the good stuff, right? Both teams battling for the NL Central. Should be a great couple of games in Milwaukee. People driving over from Chicago. Brewers fans should be backing their team at home. And what a great pitching matchup we have. This could be like a game two NLCS, NLDS preview with Matthew Boyd going for the Cubs and Jacob Mizorowski going for the Brewers. I think the line in this one is telling, though, right? The Brewers have been the much hotter team here as of late. They have probably the NL Rookie of the Year pitching, who's electric, in Mizorowski. They're at home, and yet they're underdogs tonight to the Cubs. Matthew Boyd, in his own right, has been excellent so far for the Cubs. I think the fact that Chicago is favored in this game over Mizorowski, very telling. I like the Cubbies tonight, -115, probably my favorite bet in Major League Baseball. Phillies and White Sox tonight in Chicago. Christopher Sanchez against Davis Martin. This is a big outing for Sanchez, a guy who is still in the NL Cy Young conversation. You're going up against the White Sox. I think Rob Thompson and the Phillies give him every opportunity tonight to go deep into the game. So I would look at some overs for Sanchez tonight. Look at under hits allowed, but over outs recorded. I think he goes deep into this game. So I like Christopher Sanchez to have a nice game tonight against the White Sox. Nationals and Astros, a World Series rematch from 2019. Framber Valdez against Brad Lord. The Astros are a mess right now. It's practically their Triple-A team that they're trotting out there every single night because their lineup is so banged up. Because of that, and because Framber Valdez is on the mound, I like the under quite a bit. I think the Astros are going to struggle to score runs in this game, but that Nat offense is going to struggle against Framber Valdez as well. You think about the Nats lineup, some of their best hitters, left-handers, are going up against the lefty Valdez, James Woods, CJ Abrams, Nathaniel Lowe. I think it's a tough matchup. I'll take under 7.5. Jacob DeGrom on the mound tonight for the Rangers going up against the Angels. Going to pass on that game as the Rangers are a -200 favorite. Then we have the Mets and the Padres. The Mets +105 at the Padres. Frankie Montas going up against Dylan Cease. Montas, I would look at Luis Arraez props tonight. 6-for-9 in his career against Montas. There's been all this talk about maybe the Padres moving on from Dylan Cease. So look for him to have a big outing. But how about another maybe market indicator? Mets have won 7 in a row. They're on the road tonight against San Diego and they're underdogs. I think the Padres are a good look. Give me the Pirates tonight, +110 against the Giants. Mitch Keller on the mound going up against Carson Wisenhunt. I think the Giants are in big time trouble. They just got swept by the Mets at home. Have not been the same team here as of late. I'll take Pittsburgh at +110. Give me the Marlins tonight, +100 against the Cardinals. Edward Cabrera on the mound, having a very good season for Miami. I kind of think they maybe should be favored in this game or a pick 'em. I'll take the Marlins at +100. And then finally, Mariners and Athletics tonight in Sacramento. Luis Castillo against J.P. Sears. Mariners lineup batting 18-for-109 against J.P. Sears. That's about .216 batting average. Luis Castillo going on the other side has been really good so far for the Mariners this season, as he's been throughout his career. I'll take under 10 in A's and Mariners. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM. It's an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. BetMGM account holders will receive an Any Sport Parlay Boost token. Score a bigger payout if your wager with the Parlay Boost token hits. Tokens can be used on parlays and short game parlays. Brought to you by the Sportsbook Born in Vegas, BetMGM. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. All right, you guys, wrap the show. A couple minutes left. PJ's plays here on Send It In. I told you about Luis Arraez. I mean, Luis Arraez hits everybody, but he really hits Frankie Montas. He's 6-for-9 in his career against the New York Mets right-hander. That's like a 667 batting average. So Luis Arraez loves this matchup. Maybe look at over 1.5 hits today. Maybe look at some total bases plus money. I think Arraez definitely going to get a base hit. We'll take him as our play today in going streaking. My prop lock is going to be the Orioles team total over 4.5 runs at -110. Bassett and Eflin have faced each other's lineup so far this season. Bassett went up against the Orioles, 6 strong innings, only gave up 1 earned run. Eflin went up against the Blue Jays earlier this year, only gave up 2 hits and 2 earned runs. So both starters pitched really well against the other team's lineup. The total, however, today is 9.5. Both lineups are starting to hit the ball a little bit better. We got beautiful weather out in Baltimore today. Ball should be flying. And because the Orioles are favored, a team that has really disappointed this season, going up against a team with the best record in baseball right now, feels to me the Orioles win like a 6-4 kind of game tonight. I'll take Orioles team total over at 4.5. Then my dog of the day is going to be the Seahawks to make the playoffs at +170. Again, Seattle only won 3 home games last year. The Seattle Seahawks, one of the best home fields in all the NFL, they won 7 road games. If Seattle can just get it figured out at home, I trust Mike McDonald in year 2 with that defense to get it figured out, make some big-time strides. It's obviously going to come down to Sam Darnold, and I'm really not a Sam Darnold guy, but I like the pieces around him that the Seahawks have. I think they're going to lean on Walker and Charbonnet this year in the run game, but Sam Darnold just plays like he did for the Vikings for much of the regular season. Seahawks will be in a good spot. I like them at +170 to make the playoffs. And then my best bet, give me the Cubs on the money line today as small favorites against the Brewers. Obviously a massive series in the NL Central. I think the fact that the Brewers are the hotter team, they got the more recognizable pitcher on the mound, and they're at home, but they're still underdogs, very telling. Give me the Cubbies, -115 against the Brewers. Once again, our favorite play is Luis Arraez and going streaking. Orioles team total over 4.5 is going to be our prop lock. Seahawks to make the playoffs, dog of the day, and the Cubs money line is going to be our best bet. Thanks again to Charlie Potter for joining the show. Chip Brown joins us tomorrow to talk the Texas Longhorns. See you guys then.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin, but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.